Hey everybody, welcome back to the Diamond Download. We got a special episode. Why is it special? Because every episode is special. So if you ever hear me saying it's a special episode, it just is. Okay. There's nothing in particular that we're doing that we don't normally do, except our topic's gonna be fire. As always, Chase, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I wasn't expecting to see you in Miami. When are you off to New York?
I'm going on Friday.
Heck yeah. Are you going for the weekend?
Dude, I'm kind of balling out, I'm not gonna lie.
Can't wait. Can't wait to see some pictures and videos.
We got a really nice hotel room at the Ritz, Central Park, and
Dang.
we decided that we didn't feel like flying commercial back to Miami. So I made alternative arrangements.
Dang. So you got a nice place there and you're flying solo on the way home. Dude, there was this hilarious tweet. Do you follow Nick Huber on Twitter?
I don't think so. I know, obviously, know
You
him
know who he
and
is, Sway Startup. He posted this tweet one time. It was just so funny about how he was flying private, but basically he's like, I told my kids we're on the small plane today because we couldn't afford to fly on the big plane. Like basically making a joke that like he had to fly on the small plane because he couldn't afford to fly on the big plane. I just thought that was so funny.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's some private, I've learned a little bit about planes since I've started doing this, which was like probably 2 or 3 months ago. And I've only booked a handful. I think I've flown private like 4 times. There you can get like private jets that are like shittier. You might as well just fly first class. Like you can get like a Honda jet, which looks like a little toy plane. It's like slightly bigger than like a seaplane. And you sit in the back and you gotta wear the headphones with the little thing. Like you're basically just riding in like the back seat of like someone's car. That's what it feels like. The pilot's right there. And you're sitting back there and like there's no Wi-Fi. Like it sucks.
It's like a two-seater.
It's like a 4-seater, yeah.
Is there a bathroom on the plane, or is it that smaller, like no bathroom?
I don't think there's a bathroom, bro. You can't walk around. Like you get in, it's like a helicopter.
Dang. Dude, that's
But like, I mean, for you to have like a decent experience, like you're not gonna spend less than like 10 grand.
dang. 10 grand on a flight for two.
Doesn't really matter how many people are on it, like you just get the plane. So
Got
like
it, got
it
it.
the same price for one person as it is for like eight, right?
Got
So
it.
Gulfstream 100 or G100, which is like 8-seater normal jet, you know what I mean? Nothing crazy, but like I actually okay, so Ben was talking to a guy who he's not a Miami guy, but he's visiting right now. And he's around our age and he's just crushing right now. He's got this brand that just spits off so much cash. Like he's killing it.
Okay.
And he said that this guy, Ben was saying that this guy spends money really well. And he said he only flies private when he's flying domestic, like in the States. Thinking like, I might start doing that.
And then
I
he
kind of
gets
have
his first
been.
class going international.
I guess for yeah. But like, dude, I mean, like, it's gonna cost you 10 to 30 to kind of get anywhere you want to be. And so like, but if you're doing that like 5, 6 times a year for like a guy like him,
Yeah.
probably clearing like 4 or 5
Dang.
mil a year. Nothing like
Nice.
crazy, but like doable,
Yeah. Dude, nice. Take his family or friends or something. That's cool. By the way, I have one quick rant before we get into topics. I never take calls. I never do any of that. I hopped on a sales call today, and I wasn't the one selling. I was being sold to. And dude, I was so off put by this sales call that I'm still fuming. Like I literally texted the founder. I was like, bro, I reached out to this guy. I want to potentially buy his services. I've been really interested for like the past week. He got me looped up with, I don't know, maybe some mid-level sales guy. And bro, the call was such a waste of time. Granted, it was a 10-minute call that I don't think I even want to use him anymore. Like I literally on that phone call, if the founder got on and it was a decent call, I probably would have paid on the spot. And I don't know the price, but I'm guessing it's like low 5 figures a month. And now I like left the call. Like I don't even think I want to touch this company. I was so upset. Like the guy asked like the most cookie cutter questions. I tried asking him ballpark of price. He wouldn't really give it to me. And then I asked him, a couple other things. I didn't get a great answer. And there was a bunch of other things I wanted to know that I just didn't ask because I just hopped off. And I'm just like so frustrated. Have you ever had an experience where like you're so excited to buy something and then something just happens where it's like you still really want that thing, but the way that the interaction went, you're just like, I don't even want to touch it. Like, this is how I feel right now.
Was this an agency?
It's an agency that does social media services. They do services for platforms that I'm not big on, and they've got great clients. The founder seems super cool. We were DMing, talking, and he just sent me this guy, and this guy was just so off-putting, where it's just like, I'm still frustrated now thinking about it. I only had this call like 10 minutes ago, right? So I'm still frustrated about it. I'm kind of just venting, but it just got me thinking, like, for certain things that are like high touch, high ticket, that you go through the founder, you know, handing them off to like a low level salesperson is not a good move. Like, for us, a lot of leads come through for the agency through me, but anytime I intro, it's always to an equal. It's always to Nick or Jake, who are partners and owners with me, because there's just like that same level of trust, right? Like, if I was sending to like a junior associate, I would understand that people probably wouldn't sign a $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a month contract. So I don't know, it just got me really thinking about like sales and handoffs and where I've done poorly and how I could do better and where I've done really, really well. I was just curious, you know, obviously this was not prompted, if you had any thoughts or any experiences like this.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't buy shit like that. Like, most of the time, if I'm going to buy something, I'll tell the founder, like, bypass your sales guy. I don't need to be sold to. Just send me the fucking link. And I mean, I prefer to, because I don't want to like sit there and like answer a bunch of questions, like, to identify that I have a problem. Like, I know I have a problem. Like, that's why I'm like, that's why I want your thing. So just let me pop.
Dude, like, what are your goals for 2024? You know, what are your thoughts about you not being there? And he just like asked me like all these things. Like, I could tell like he was reading from a script, and he's like almost like pre-qualifying me. It's like, bro, I was going to the founder telling him I wanted it, and he almost sold me down to some other guy. Now it's like, I don't want it. It's weird.
Yeah. Sorry that happened. Tell me about it after, because I don't want to put the guy on blast. But
no, I don't want to do it either. Really,
is it someone I would know?
What?
Is it someone I would know?
You would know his clients for sure, either personally or know of them. Maybe you would know him.
I would know the agency.
Maybe you would know them. I didn't know him or the agency, but I know his clients. I know he does great work.
Okay.
So I'll share with you after. But anyways, let's dive into today.
Speaking of bad sales guys, let's talk about how the FTC got Taylor Welch.
I'll let you lead here. You sent me the before, and I was kind of reading up on it. It's interesting. I don't really know the guy. I don't know of the guy. After you sent it to me, I saw it all over my feed. I might have saw it on my feed and not thought much of it otherwise, but yeah, talk to me through this.
Yeah, so I saw this yesterday, and like, I'm in a, like, all of my friends are info sellers. So like, I got four different group chat pings of people sending this tweet, which maybe we can link in the description, but it's from Rob Frund Law. And it's
great. Rob's a great guy. I know him personally. We spoke on events together. He's a really smart guy, really cool guy.
That's dope. Yeah, he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. He's got a decent following. He goes, FTC gets $16.3 million judgment against entrepreneurs and their companies operating the Sales Mentor program based on allegations of false earning claims. So Sales Mentor is Taylor Welch, who is probably one of the biggest names, at least in our space, like big info guy, been around for a long time. $16.3 million judgment. Because they were making false income claims. For anybody who doesn't know what the FTC is and does, like, they basically check businesses to make sure that we're not misleading people or just doing bad business, right?
Yeah.
And what it sounds like happened was an FTC agent went undercover as a prospect, got on a sales call, and it was the closer that was actually making false income claims.
Wow.
And that, I guess, like, yeah. And so it's really interesting. So this is a thing that a lot of people have to look out for. There's a lot of, like, anytime you're selling make money online or health, but I feel like that might be a different agency. Pretty sure FTC just handles money. I don't know, but you do have to be careful about claims you make. And like, I'd heard that long time ago when I was like just a little baby copywriter, about how, like, when you're writing copy, you have to be careful about what claims you make, because like, your clients can get in trouble. And I thought, that's never going to happen, bro. Like, that's like, that's like big, big, big companies. Like, if they say crazy shit, then like, yeah, the FTC will come after it. But like, Taylor Welch is not like a massive company. Apparently, I think it said in there, did $22 million between January 2019 and October 22.
Okay.
Not bad. Not bad, you know, for 3 years, $22 million, but And so it looks like they only paid $1 million because they're hiding money somewhere else. Like the money, I guess, just.
So what do you think happened? Someone must have complained to the FTC or tipped them off, and they almost like set someone in undercover to kind of see for themselves and get like proof and build a case. Is that like essentially what went down?
I guess so. But like, so I have a lawyer, like a really good lawyer who specializes in compliance.
Okay.
And like one of the things, like if you do have an info business, number one, don't make fucking false claims. The way that they sort of identify a false claim is like, if you, for example, I have a student right now who makes like 45 grand a month copywriting.
Wow.
And if I said like, you can make 45 grand a month copywriting in 7 months. Kevin did that, my guy, right? But not everyone does that. It has to be like a reasonable amount of students in the program that hit a certain level. So I could say like, you can make 3K a month copywriting, because then I can pull up like 100 people in my program who are making 3K a month. But I can't say 45. And I especially can't say the time frame, because then it's just like I'm using one example. Or some people will just completely make it up. If they're really grifters, they'll be like, you can make 20K a month in your first month as long as you follow these steps. Like, there are people that do that.
So you could use the guy that makes 45K as like a case study, saying this is how he did it. But you can't say this is how you, the potential prospect or buyer, can do it, right? We're not guaranteeing that because Kevin did it, you'll do it as well. You have to be very clear to differentiate, right?
Exactly. And that is what the Client Ascension boys did. So like, for anybody who knows Client Ascension, it's Daniel Fazio. It's one of my favorite businesses, just because like, I know that they are really technically good at everything they do. Like, their product is great. Their marketing is great. They just do everything right. And so I look to them for a lot of answers on stuff like this. And also they have really good advice. Like, their program is good. I'm in their program. And on their website, like, they changed their funnel. And they have a lot of language on there. Like, they, at the, first of all, at the bottom, they have a big disclaimer that says like, listen, like it's basically just a classic sort of like online business disclaimer. But they also say like on the page, like they have like a testimonial section. They have a thing that says like, it is unlikely that you will reach the, you know, the level that these our clients have reached. So if like, these are not guaranteed, these are, you know, atypical results. So like, they've done everything they can to make sure that they never get got like that, because that's what can happen.
Dude, it's so funny. I'm on Ty Lopez's email list from like years and years ago, and I'll open in his email like every 6 to 12 months just to see what he's saying. And not actually, but kind of jokingly, his disclosure at the bottom of his email sometimes are longer than his actual email. Like, he'll have like paragraphs at the bottom saying like all of these things because he might have gotten in trouble, or maybe he's just preventing, trying to get in trouble. But sometimes his disclosures of like, you will not do this, we're not guaranteeing anything, are actually longer than the sales emails he's sending, which is kind of funny. It's kind of ironic.
That is funny. That also might be for deliverability. Yes. I've heard from somebody that like deliverability, I think Luke started doing that. He hired this deliverability guy. And sometimes, especially if you're using ActiveCampaign, you have a disclaimer at the bottom.
Yeah. I think I know who you're talking about. There's this guy that sells like this script or this thing that helps you inbox better. And it's basically just like a bunch of text and disclaimer. I think for like us, because we're personal brands, we're mainly text-based, we probably are okay. But like for e-commerce brands that are like very image heavy, that definitely can help, having like that ratio of all the text at the bottom alongside the image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, dude, long story short, don't make false claims. Make sure your product is good, honor refunds, and make people sign shit, like get contracts, so that they know what they're getting into.
Heck yeah.
All right. On a lighter note, Christmas gift ideas for fellow entrepreneur friends under $500. So like, I was thinking more in the context of like an agency, like you have an agency. I don't know if you're like buying little gifts for like your top clients, or if you are buying gifts for maybe partners, like either in the agency or people that, you know, like, for example, Jimmy, right? Like you're on the board for Sendland. I was wondering if you'd be able to share, if it's a surprise, then don't tell it, but like maybe like give people some ideas of like what you could buy for like entrepreneurs.
Well, it's so like, funny you mentioned that. So Jimmy reached out to me after the last episode. He reached out for an intro to one of the people I talked about. I don't want to say too much, but he listened to the episode and he moved to Austin, Texas, and he asked for an intro. So it was just funny. Like he definitely listens to this. So we actually did send him a gift. He sent us a client the other day, or maybe a couple weeks ago at this point. So we sent him like this food basket of like Austin, Texas things. So a bunch of like barbecue and I don't know, whatever else. So we sent him that. My brother Carson, funny enough, sent me a gift to my house because I sent him business for his recruiting business. He does like the e-com recruiting. And on the thing, it didn't even say his name. Like he sent it to 8 people. For whatever reason, I was like one of the 8 people that didn't get that who was from. So I thought it was from Jimmy. And Jimmy's like, it's not for me. And then I thought it was, he sent me like a Yeti cooler and then 2 Yeti water bottles. Very nice gift. It's probably like $150, $200. Sent it to 8 of his referral sources, which was really cool. And I didn't even know who sent it. So if you are sending gifts, make sure that you include a note. That's a good tip. But I think like things that would be good is like a gift for a client or even a gift for yourself. Dude, I think like having a good camera, having a good microphone, having a good backdrop, even like the Ecom Chase sign on the background, I think having these things are so underrated and so important for all the video calls we do. Like if you think about like everyone lives on Zoom or Google Meets, whatever, Google Hangouts. So I think buying yourself or potentially even people on your team, like a decent camera for the computer, maybe it's like $100 to $300. Obviously really nice ones are a lot more. You know, this mic that I'm using is decent. It's probably $100, $200. So I think for $500 or less, you can get yourself or potentially someone you really care about, like a good home office setup to be prepared and look great and sound great on calls.
Hmm. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. What about you? What are your thoughts?
I don't know. Like, I think, first of all, I don't have clients really. So I guess I'm
your only client, right?
I guess kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I give you money. So like, I don't know. I think like the stuff that I would get people would have to be like super personal. You know what I mean? Like, for example, like if I was, and like, you can kind of just do that based on like reading people's tweets. Like, you know, Tommy Clark.
Yeah.
If I would get Tommy a gift, I would get him like
something about running, right?
He's into running. I was thinking Adderall because he's like, he's like in the phase of his agency where he just hates his life and he gets 3 hours of sleep a night.
Oh my God.
So like, the running shoes or Adderall, I think would probably be a good gift for him.
Or both. Put the Adderall in the running shoes. So and a pair of socks.
Yeah, exactly. Like Jimmy, I would get him like a Klaviyo dartboard with Senlane darts.
Oh my God. That's funny.
I would print out pictures of like Klaviyo's entire customer service team.
Oh my God. Like, bro, you got me a great gift. It wasn't for like the holidays, but when I had Shay, I don't know, 3.5 years ago, instead of saying like email marketing is dead, you put email marketing is dad or something, right? You got me that.
Yeah, I crossed out the word dead and just put dad under it.
That was a great one.
That was solid because, dude, remember the time everyone kept saying email marketing is dead? That was like a catchphrase in the industry. Yeah. And then at the back, I had like her name at structure.agency.
Yeah, it was great. That was a great gift.
Yeah, a little onesie. I bet that doesn't fit anymore. You probably have to get something else.
Well, it'll probably fit the younger one. We might just have to change the name, get it re-embroidered.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like gifts. Yeah, I guess gifts for kids, like for your friends' kids is dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is all good stuff. Anything else you want to add there?
No, I think that was solid.
Okay, cool. Last one. How to market in the most wonderful and dead time of the year. So like, listen, it is the most wonderful time of the year. I've had my Christmas tree up since like the last second of Halloween. I got like all my Christmas gifts under the tree over here. I don't know if you can see that. Oh, you kind of can't.
A little bit.
I'm in the spirit. And I love it, but business slows down to a halt usually, unless you're like selling Christmas gifts.
Yep.
You have some info stuff and you have products to sell. You also have a service. Like I'm thinking like the agency, like structured, where it's like people might not be onboarding a new agency right now. Like if you have a personal brand or a product that doesn't really lend itself well to, you know, it being right before the holidays, what do you like to do with your email list and your socials and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think around like this time, it's a couple things. I think number one is just trying to be helpful, like just trying to be helpful and educational. And then with that too, like trying to line up meetings and excitement for, you know, the new year. A lot of emails, a lot of conversations are just like, hey, like let's connect in the new year. Like let's crush it on the email side, or let's connect in the new year. Let's crush it on the LinkedIn side or the Twitter side, like whatever it might be. So I think a lot of it's just like touching base with people, staying top of mind through being helpful, wishing people well, and trying to just line up things for like early Q1. Cause I think everyone right now is slowing down, but I think everyone's like open and willing to get things on the calendar like early Q1. So it's a lot of that. I'm also too using this time personally, like for my businesses, just to like think about like where I want to double down and where I want to triple down in 2024, where I want to cut back. I'm catching up on like fixing a bunch of my flows. I'm writing a bunch of new email campaigns and automations because I realized I just forget to send campaigns outside my 3 weekly newsletter one. So, you know, I'm building out 3, 5, 7 email sequences for, you know, if people open this many emails or click this link, try to sell them this or try to sell them that. So I think for me, it's just a lot of like restructuring and preparing. And then with everyone else outwardly, it's just like checking in, touching base, wishing well, and trying to get things on the calendar for early Q1 when everyone's going to be coming back and hopefully energized and excited and hopefully has a 2024 budget that we can work together with.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, man. I think, yeah, same sort of thing. Just like brand building and trust building and education. It's like the best thing you can do. Like I'm seeing a lot of guys, and I'm speaking more on like the info world. I don't know how many info people you have. I would love if we could do like a little mini survey. Okay. I know you kind of sometimes, but like I'm thinking like, I don't know. I'm seeing a lot of guys in the info world who are like pushing really, really hard right now, where it's like my Christmas sale, you know, has 24 hours left, 2 spots left. You know what I mean? It's like stuff like that, where it's like, dog, like no one wants to learn dropshipping right now. Like it's Christmas, you know, like yeah, just chill. Like luckily, like we've done well enough, you know, this year where like we really don't have to push that hard, and like I don't really want to, you know what I mean? I kind of want to like go to New York, kind of want to just have Christmas. My family's coming down here. Like if someone happens to find us and buy some shit and book a call or whatever, like great. And our product team's still around, but like we're slowing down, man. And like that's like good. Like I want that. So like in the meantime, like if I, you know, go live on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, like I'm going to try not to push too much. Like it's really just like, hey man, I'm just here hanging out, making sure people don't forget about you. Cause what you should also not do is like go ghost, where it's like, you don't post anything. And then by the time it's buying season again in January, everyone's like, wait, who is this guy? Like they forget about you. You can't let that momentum drop. So
yeah. Dude, on that note, one of the biggest mistakes I've seen, like in our LinkedIn service, we've literally had 2 people churn in the past couple of weeks because they're like at capacity for clients. And I'm like, dude, you don't stop when you're getting clients at capacity. Like if you stop now, for you to restart and then get clients in case anyone drops, like it's going to take too long. Like ride the wave, ride the momentum, build out a wait list. And it also tells me too that people are probably too busy fulfilling themselves if they have to stop taking on new clients because they're too busy. So I think like that is a huge mistake that I see people making. It's like, if things are good, don't stop. Find ways to double or triple or quadruple down. That's like when you like are like, hey, I'm now doing this because I don't need clients. I'm doing this now to give back and create. And that's where the magic happens. So this was a solid episode.
Yeah. What a weird thing agency owners do when they decide they want to stop growing their business because it's too good.
It makes sense.
Weird. Like only agency owners, bro. Like, dude, if you want to have a lifestyle business and make fucking $2,000 a month, like go make pots, like go make like flower pots and sell them on Etsy, bro. Like seriously, like go sew together like a t-shirt or get a job. Like so weird, bro. Like a business is supposed to grow. Yes. Like, keep going. Like what is so weird? And hire more people. Like, oh, yeah, I hate
exactly.
It.
Anyway, this was a great one. I appreciate you, brother. Safe travels to New York.
Thank you, man. I'll see you next week.
All right. Cheers. Bye.